The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is February the 14th, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. That means it's Valentine's Day. There's plenty of things we got to do on Valentine's Day, but I have to start my Valentine's Day by wishing my sister a very happy birthday. I want to say happy birthday to my sister, Kimberly Green, born on Happy Valentine's Day, sending love from all your family on this side of the ocean. Also want to say happy birthday to Garrel Johnson. Dear Mr. Marlon Johnson, I hope you reported to wake bright and early this morning to ensure that your love has not only a wonderful Valentine's Day, but also a very, very wonderful happy birthday as well. It's a Tuesday besides being Valentine's Day, and that means I have Mr. Mark Palmer joining me this morning.
Good morning, Erin.
How you doing?
I'm very well.
And I have Mr. Cecil Newry joining me this morning.
It's always a pleasure to be on your show. Thanks very much for the invitation.
Yeah, man. Well, here's why I invited you. Not to play the How Bahamian Are You game show, because you have already proven that you're very Bahamian. You don't have no Valentine's Day gift for your friends. See, I brought Valentine's Day gifts for my friends. I brought a selection of the finest locally grown cherry tomatoes.
Looking at that and say, tomatoes, right?
Just yes. It's cherry for your heart.
Oh.
It's love for your heart.
It's so an interesting Valentine's Day gift. I'm grateful for it, though.
Because I into heart health.
Okay.
You're all around here. You can't be loving up on people until you understand how healthy their heart is, you know. Mm. You go out there and give somebody too much love and you hate them. And that's not what you want to do.
No.
Same way, you're out here on Valentine's Day. You can't be giving your sugar too much sugar because your sugar may have sugar and don't need no more sugar on Sugar Day. Right? So I giving out
nice
cherry tomatoes for Valentine's Day because I'm thinking about your heart. Not just about you, but also your heart. Also, jujus are great for Valentine's Day love as well. There's so many of them you could put in one bouquet at the same time. If you have a juju tree, think about that as a thoughtful yet inexpensive gift for Valentine's Day. Now, I have a couple of gifts for y'all for Valentine's Day. Before we get into the conversation, three things I wanted to do today. Tomorrow marks the beginning of the 44th regular meeting of the Conference of Heads of Government of the Caribbean Community. That's CARICOM. I wanted to talk about that. Lots of questions, lots of things to talk about, but I can't forget it's Valentine's Day. I also want to talk about a little bit of culture. How Bahamian are you? And then I got some music I want to play because somehow these young people feel like Bahamians don't know anything about Valentine's Day. Like we don't have the soundtrack for your life already geared up on the deck at every radio station. We don't need to go foreign for these things. We could look internally for all the things that we need, even when we participating in global culture. Anyway, producer, when we go into a break, I can let you know when to play that song. Gentlemen, CARICOM is on its way. Prime Minister has been selected or appointed as the chair of CARICOM, Mr. Newry, for the next 6 months or 4 6 months?
For the next 6 months. It started off in January.
Until the beginning of July.
June, July. Yeah, right in time for Independence Day celebration.
Because he needs to be free.
Yeah, bohemian work.
Yeah, because, you know, one of the things I'm concerned about is how is the prime minister going to balance his myriad is too strong of a word, multitude, also too strong of a word, various obligations. How is the prime minister going
to... He's an intellectual. He has proven fit that he can balance numerous things at the same time. And he's doing a fairly good job.
I mean, that's one. That's not an unreasonable assessment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not... the Bahamas is kind of semi-detached to CARICOM. We're not in the full, you know, we haven't got our arm all the way into the cookie jar with the CSME. So it's probably not as much work that's required, right? Because there's a whole element of it, the core part of it that we're not really part of, right?
Well,
so maybe it doesn't require that much extra work.
Right? From the Prime Minister?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I think that requires even more work. Because the fact that we're not in, that we haven't signed on to the Caribbean single market economy,
right,
part of CARICOM, it's not just a small thing, because the single market economy is the thrust.
That is the touted as the central benefit of this whole CARICOM expansion.
So that's a big thing. Yeah. And so the Prime Minister as chair has a lot of obligations to balance. And there's a lot of tension, I think, that he has to negotiate and navigate. And I think the Bahamas has been traditionally, I may be wrong, but certainly in this meeting will be called on to negotiate or to compromise or to find a position that is not necessarily the most beneficial to the Bahamas, but is most beneficial to CARICOM as a whole.
But we do have, you know, Jamaica historically has never really fully embraced the CSME either. And there were times where it was going to fall off and become semi-detached too. So it's like if you look at the European Union, you always have the powerful countries, right? They're part of it. We are a powerful country. GDP, when we look at us, you know, we're probably like a Germany, you know, part of it. So we're an important part of it. Without the Bahamas, I think that's, the CARICOM would miss something.
Yeah.
But you're always going to have these alliances. You're going to have alliances within. You've got four of the countries which are oil producers, right?
Yeah.
Are they Suriname,
Trinidad.
Guyana, Trinidad and Tobago, and there's a fourth one. And so they have a separate agenda, which they're going to be pushing. So you're never going to see, you know, you're never going to get...
So let me give people a little background on CARICOM. One of the questions I want to ask the listening audience is, you know, what do you think the Bahamas' role is in CARICOM? What are the benefits for the Bahamas being a part of CARICOM? But so for those who are not familiar with CARICOM, here's a little info on CARICOM. So let's start with CARICOM in the present. Starting tomorrow, we're going to have the 44th regular meeting of the Conference of Heads of Government of the Caribbean Community take place in Nassau, Bahamas. Now, they say Nassau, Bahamas, but I feel like it's New Providence.
Yes, but everyone calls the whole island Nassau. But you are technically correct, New Providence, because that's Cable Beach there. It's Cable Beach to Bahamas.
And is that Bahama?
At the Bahama complex.
That's like a whole nother...
City.
Territory,
You need visa.
In fact, you do need a visa
to get past.
And I see the statement by the Minister of National Security on the bottom fold of today's Tribune. Monroe warns, don't test law enforcement. With the country prepared to host CARICOM this week, National Security Minister Wayne Monroe is warning people not to quote unquote test law enforcement.
I want to pause you there. Is he warning people or are you warning Bahamians? And it all depends on the context. If you substitute, read it with the word Bahamians instead of people, and see how it sounds. Go ahead, read it again.
Minister Wayne Monroe is warning Bahamians not to test law enforcement.
It's a different sensation, a different sounding altogether when you say word Bahamians.
That's why he didn't say it.
Yeah, that's why he didn't say it. I know what he's inferring.
Maybe he didn't say it because although we are aware that there may be protests, we're not certain who will be protesting. Would other countries, but members of nationals from other Caribbean countries come to the Bahamas to protest the meeting of CARICOM in the Bahamas.
We have any examples of such happening?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah. Don't you need like a permit to protest in the Bahamas?
Exactly. You need a permit to protest
in
anywhere.
General, yeah.
I think maybe Ralph Gunz, I keep forgetting how to pronounce his last name. My boy over there is such a conflict-filled man, troublesome, bigoty, and very, very problematic, right? I imagine if anybody getting a little protest, it would be him.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen any.
It must mean they're doing a good job. Or they're doing an ineffectual job.
Or
either one of those.
Or the state of Liat renders most individuals in the Lower Caribbean unable to travel just to go protest in other people's country.
Well, see, if somebody said the Bahamas had to be part of CSME, I'm sure you would see protests, right?
Right, but would it be from other countries? This is it. I think other countries would come here to support that move.
Mm.
It's only Bahamians who would protest being a part of CSME, and not all Bahamians.
But at this present time, and going back to your reading, I know you're going to finish that. At this present time, we know there has been promoted as going to be a protest at the hotel for this CARICOM meeting.
Right.
We know who that group is. They have identified themselves. So one must assume that the Minister of National Security is meaning them.
Right, because it can't be meaning Haitian migrants.
No. Yeah. Right?
Go on.
And have we ever seen any migrants, undocumented migrants, protest in the Bahamas about the laws?
No, I think we may have seen migrants go to the Haitian embassy and demonstrate displeasure there.
About their own embassy, though.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
The Bahamas.
Yeah, yeah.
And when we do see any people of immigrant descent, it'll normally be Bahamians again, who just have that lineage.
Right.
But I want you to continue reading your headline. I just wanted that word Bahamian put there to understand what the minister is inferring. And I feel uneasy because I believe in this democracy, Bahamians should be able to protest. And because we are a democratic state. And the idea that the penultimate, the Minister of National Security, to give a warning to Bahamians about protesting, that ain't democratic in nature.
No.
You know, give guidelines on how it is to protest, but don't be in what I call diminishing the freedoms of Bahamians. I don't want them protesting. But like I said, that is anti-democratic. The verbiage is what I'm talking about. The sentiments that is being inferred. I don't appreciate it. Me, who are pursuing democracy and trying to be a freedom fighter for Bahamians, I don't necessarily appreciate the sentiments that is being inferred there.
No, and let's talk about it, Mark. I only turn this way because I'm looking at the paper.
No. I think we don't really operate in a democracy. Not really. I really don't. I mean,
it's a plantation model democracy that's been established, I think, in many small islands.
Every 5 years,
jurisdictions.
And we vote for our tribe, and then nothing really gets.
No, we vote for somebody else's tribe. That's a very important part. We vote for somebody else's tribe.
What Cecil's saying about the power, the ability to protest, is a really important protest, and governments hate that. They don't want their people to give them trouble, or trouble in inverted commas, right? So so now you got to get permits. Those permits can be declined, right, for any reason. I can't, you know, if three of us want to go protest, we can't do it. That's not democratic, this is happening in all countries around the world. So our little layers of democracy are being peeled away slowly but surely.
And that's what I'm concerned with, right? At various CARICOM meetings and meetings around the world, people protest.
Yeah.
This is a norm. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the last CARICOM meeting, the nationals there protested.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that their Minister of National Security came and warned their citizens. Hey.
Here's another thing.
Something's wrong there.
The question is, are protesters going to protest CARICOM or are they going to protest their government in the presence of CARICOM? And leaders, right? CARICOM machinery.
Look where you go.
No, this is important because the tone taken by the minister is extremely problematic if you are addressing people who you presume are coming to protest you in the presence of CARICOM.
Look where you're
now,
going.
Now, see, if you were very concerned that there was a threat or a risk to the lives or the safety of the visitors, the guests, the world leaders, right, the regional leaders that were coming to the Bahamas, I could see you taking such a strong tone, right? Mm-hmm. If you're saying to me, which you didn't say at all at any point in time, that the threat to the prime minister didn't stand alone, right? It wasn't a standalone threat. It didn't occur in a vacuum. It occurred in an environment which led us to believe that this threat extends to other national leaders that are coming to the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. If you had taken time to sit down to meet with me, the Bahamian public, mm-hmm. and say that to me,
say that clearly,
then I could understand the tone taken in the statements by the Minister of National Security. But if you were addressing people who are protesting you and using the opportunity of the CARICOM meeting to draw visibility, like you say, well, what I infer from what
yes,
you say, those are unnecessarily heavy-handed words.
Mm-hmm.
We have the right to protest. We have the right to demonstrate. And we have the right, especially, to demonstrate in front of outsiders.
And this is where our union fails mm-hmm. us. This is where our persons who pursue democracy fail us. Mm-hmm. Because when you hear these words, and as a protector of democracy and a right to assemble and a right, even constitutionalists, someone's supposed to respond and say, hey, I hear you and I appreciate your concern, but the verbiage that you use is anti-democracy. And we cannot tolerate such verbiage because they are violent against Bahamiano. And I'm always pursuing this Bahamiano. Now, if the Minister of National Security said, hey, we have created a place for where protesters can protest, it's at a safe distance and it's safe for everyone involved, I can appreciate that because he's doing policing. If I can appreciate the COP coming together and say, this is how we're going to police this. Mm-hmm. You are going to be over here. This section, because it's private property, you cannot come on this section right here. I can appreciate that. But this heavy-handedness to say, hey, don't be testing the police. So what do police plan to do? They plan to take out the tanks again? We already see they take out tanks in the last protest, right?
Right.
At the Minister of National Security.
They brought them back from Abaco. They brought them back from Abaco.
Oh, they carried the tanks to Abaco?
Remember when that they were in Abaco when Minister got there for his meeting. They just were placed where Minister's meeting was, ambiance.
This was back then.
Yeah, yeah. They had a long time.
I'm just talking about when the members of the Ministry of National Security, the officers were protesting with their salary and whatever it is. The tanks mysteriously appeared in front of their workplace. Right? It's an expose, whatever it is. But again, the narrative of the government being heavy-handed against its citizens must be highlighted and shunned and saying this is wrong. Because it's a continued narrative and it's a continued heavy narrative coming from the Ministry of National Security that maybe in the future, dogs and tanks may be used against Bahamian citizens. And when you're seeing these small things, someone needs to push back and say, I hear you. I understand what you're trying to say, but what you're saying is wrong and I cannot be tolerated. You need to come back and say, hey, this is not good for Bahamiana and what Bahamians stand for and the freedoms of Bahamians. And I am concerned.
And maybe Bahamians will understand the urgency of the matter, right? The urgency with which it needs to be addressed if they can see the same dynamic in a different context, right? The government has, and I say the government, consumed by the political culture of the day, right? It appears as if we can't stop the importation of party policy, party politics, party dynamics being pulled into governance, but the political culture of the day is one where if you disagree with government or government actors, a government position, if you say something that when juxtaposed to the government's position makes them uncomfortable or highlights their narrative unfavorably, they set the dogs on you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Do you remember back, it was probably about 10, 12 years ago, one particular administration, when they got into power, they started railing against the media, remember the Tribune, and saying, you all can't write anything bad about us and we'll be checking you and this and that. Remember they were threatening the Fourth Estate.
Hold on, was this an official party statement or was this
like
war room?
This was in not cabinet, but in the House of Assembly, there were warnings made. And I remember very clearly about, you know, you'll not stand in our way, the Fourth Estate, and you just watch yourself.
Man, Mark, I need you to send me those clips. No, I don't remember. I can be honest. Maybe it's because I can't tolerate that.
I'm not going to mention any names, but it was incredibly arrogant.
We could mention it in the break.
Yeah.
When we turn off the video cameras. If you're tuning in on the Guardian Radio app.
Remember something like that? Yeah. Seriously, yeah.
We're also on video. You could tune in today to see our Valentine's Day attire. Gentlemen, I noticed that y'all...
No red.
Y'all didn't even try. Producer, I see we got a call on the line. I got a text. Let me read the text. It says, good morning, CA and Aaron. Why don't y'all ask the Bahamian people what they want to protect? Do Haitians protest against, or what they want to protest? Do Haitians protest against their government? This is a communist country now, and our government is betraying the trust of Bahamians. Dear texter, this is not a communist country. You are bound more by your own perceptions and misperceptions of governance than you are bound by the actions of the political class and politicians and government actors.
If it was a communist country, we'd be all starving now.
Absolutely. But I'm going to go to this caller, and then we're going to talk about what the Bahamian people may or may not want to protest. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, thank you, sir. How are you?
Yes, Aaron.
Yes, sir.
You as a journalist, and what's his name?
Okay, pause. I'm not a journalist. I'm
a
media personality.
I ain't going to school for that.
Right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
How could you let the gentleman make such a statement without presenting any facts publicly?
Repeat the statement.
The statement that he just made.
No, repeat it for me, please.
Well, I already caught the latter part of it, of what he's saying, that what governments are saying, okay? But anyhow, let me get to my point.
No, pause right there. Hold on, pause, caller. Pause. You said something very heavy just now. I honestly and sincerely, I'm not able to identify the statement that you were referring to. It seemed heavy enough that we need to address it, given the way that you engage. Tell me what it is that concerned you most.
Is your show recorded?
Yes, recorded.
Could you go back and play just...
No, sir, you can't call and... Listen, the allegations that you make when you...
I said, let me explain to you what I said. I said, how could you let the gentleman make such a statement?
And I asked you, what is the statement? What is the statement?
You have the statement in front of you.
How I have the statement in front of me, sir? We're having a vibrant, high-level conversation. And I sincerely say to you, identify the statement for me, because I am uncertain or unaware of what you're referencing. I ask you to pause. It's such a heavy statement. You come in and first of all question my professional integrity about what type of journalist am I. But you can't repeat this. You can't even remember what he said. Come on, man. It's Valentine's Day. Don't do that. First of all, I am not a journalist. That doesn't mean that you didn't attempt to besmirch my journalistic integrity, which you presume I had. Mark, could you imagine what it is he was referencing? Or Cecil, could you imagine what it is he was referencing?
Me? I was waiting for the gentleman to say what the statement is so we can analyze it.
Good
so
morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Too.
Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. That was 2 seconds of call. Mark, I am not sure what commentary the gentleman was referencing. Because you were the last person that spoke, I presume he was referring to you. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Most importantly, caller, because I ain't citing what you're talking about and you ain't citing what you're talking about. Let's go on. So, the Bahamas, as a country, will attain its 40th year as a member state of the Caribbean community. But like Mark said, not the common single market economy. And that'll happen on July 4th. So July 4th will be the 40th anniversary of our membership in CARICOM. CARICOM was created in 1973, July 4th, 1973, in Trinidad and Tobago, in Chaguaramas, right? And I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that properly.
Yeah,
The big countries, like Mark referenced, that signed on were Barbados, Guyana, Jamaica, and Trinidad and Tobago. And they began this journey. Now, the history of CARICOM in the CARICOM community is fascinating, and I'm going to recommend that all Bahamians take a look at it so that they could understand the organization that they're participating in and how Bahamians and the Bahamas can not only support the work of other Caribbean countries, but benefit from the work of CARICOM. CARICOM now consists of 15 Caribbean nations and dependencies. These member states are Antigua and Barbuda, Bahamas, Barbados, Belize, Dominica, Grenada, Guyana, Haiti, Jamaica, Montserrat, which is a British overseas territory in the Leeward Islands, St. Kitts and Nevis, St. Lucia, St. Vincent, and the Grenadines, Suriname, and Trinidad and Tobago. In addition to the community's full members, there are 5 associate members and 7 observers. The 5 associate members are Anguilla, Bermuda, the British Virgin Islands, the Cayman Islands, and Turks and Caicos. The role of the associate members, which are all British overseas territories, is not established yet, and the observers are states which engage in at least one of CARICOM's technical committees. CARICOM Day is the first Monday in July in Guyana. They commemorate the signing of the treaty. And in Cuba, CARICOM Cuba Day is observed on December 8th to celebrate diplomatic ties between the Caribbean community, CARICOM, and Cuba. Now, did you know? In fact, here's what it is. I got a small question for the audience. Do you know where the term CARIFTA comes from? Do you know what it means and where it came from? I see we got a couple of callers on the line. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning to Mr. Nuri and to Mr. Mark Palmer.
MashaAllah.
You know, Ms. Green, all one needs to do is follow the narratives or rhetoric of a politician, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you will try to analyze their psyche, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm very disappointed in Mr. Monroe for being so robotic and inhumane towards the Bahamian people. Firstly, my level of consciousness and the little knowledge that I have, my external reality is reality. But the last caller frightened me any which way, because if I'm upset about something, trust me, I would remember what was said verbatim.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but I'm very disappointed. Back to Mr. Monroe. He seems to have done an about abrupt turn, right? And mm-hmm. that is a cause for concern. Was this not the same gentleman who said flogged Haitians in Boston Square?
He said that?
Yeah, but they were saying, yeah, that's something that's a statement of beauty. You didn't remember that? You don't remember that when you said, but he flogged Haitians.
He was giving an example. He didn't necessarily say it. He said, this is something I should be considered.
He said that should be considered?
Whatever it was. But what
or what he would do.
It's okay. I wanted him to resign from a long time. Don't watch nothing. No. Go on.
I have the most respect for Mr. Monroe, right? But
yeah.
Firstly, we are not free. The humanity is not free. And so, Mr. Mark Palmer, very learned guy. I love to hear him speak. But the thing is, Mr. Monroe is a very humble person. You know, I like to listen. I could learn a lot from him, like how to speak slow and be poised and all that. And he seems very humane and humble. But he talk about death and, you know, we have to mm-hmm. die. He moved me with certain statements he makes.
Yes.
But then I'm confounded with the about turn on the Bahamian people. But, you know, according to what I've been locked up for, I mean, if I get locked up for protesting, that is really nothing. Bahamian people don't have to, he shouldn't have to try to frighten the Bahamian people out of protesting
mm-hmm.
when it's democratic. So it seems to me as if these guys have become drunken or stuporized with power,
mm-hmm.
right, in order to issue these type of statements to the Bahamian public. I just must think they could be in power forever. This is really ridiculous. I wonder if they think, sometimes, this is beyond Mr. Monroe, but some politicians pass laws while they're in power, not knowing that they would have to live through this. But this is the oligarchical structures. These guys figure they don't have to adhere to these laws. As we see the difference with how the migrants are treated here versus the Bahamian people. So the fact that the human race are being duped and think that they're free, it's frightening for me and my children, because I know of the panopticon that they're about to create through capital surveillance and technology. And most of us are really lost, you know. And it is frightening for me. I hate to, you know, the thing is, I'm not intimidated by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But, I was following up global agendas for so long until it's become frightening for me. People like Alex, everybody they call crazy, everything they said is actually coming to fruition. It's we're moving towards an Orwellian society, COVID-19 and the Great Reset actually details this in a post-pandemic world and highlights all of these things where the government will become more totalitarian or more egalitarian. And we see which paradigm the government is moving. You know, I wonder if these guys really are thinking straight, man. You know, I mean...
52, I with you. I got to go. I got 3 more calls on the board. And I ain't play one love song yet. And I with you. I appreciate. I really appreciate what you're saying.
I truly appreciate what you're saying, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Next question.
Yeah.
If the League, Her Majesty's opposition decided to protest during this CARICOM meeting, mm-hmm. was the Minister of National Security meeting them?
You have to be.
See, when you analyze who protested and who could be protesting, if the church said they go to deal, is he meaning them?
Yeah. Now, at the same time, right, I'm going to say this. Caller, don't go nowhere. I'm coming to you right now. I'm going to say this. We want to protest. We have the right to protest. As far as I can say, you can't stop me from protesting. I want to say this, though. You're going to go out there and protest. You want to preserve the right to protest. Don't go out there shouting obscenities and threatening to kill people.
I agree.
Don't go out there doing that.
But we have laws against that.
Right.
So the police just need to do that and enforce the laws that we have.
Right. No, absolutely. Don't play on the Bahamian police, them sympathies either. Right? Because Bahamian police don't want to lock up Bahamians for protesting. Don't put them in a position to do it. Mm-hmm. Like, let's be savvy. I'm going to get back to it. I got to go to the call. We're going to get back to it. Yes. We'll stick a pin in that. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Valentine, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning.
Can you hear me? Happy Valentine.
Yes, sir. They can't hear you, though. I can hear you. Don't watch nothing.
Aaron Green, you talking about Shama Rama?
No, I was talking about CARICOMA.
No, you're right, right.
Yeah,
Where it comes from.
Did you suggest that CARICOM is nothing but a plantation model political sham?
No, he's talking he mispronounced the Treaty of
Chacaramas.
Oh, okay. My bad, my cousin. I thought we were talking high level political conspiracy.
It could be that too.
Yeah.
But after again?
Chacaramas.
Chacaramas.
Chacaramas, yeah.
Right, that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
Right. Then it's formed into CARICOM. That's in the early 70s.
Right. Oh, you're asking me where CARIFTA came from?
No, I'm asking your question.
Yeah.
Let me show it out there.
So CARIFTA, right, the Caribbean Free Trade Association, that's what CARIFTA means. And it was founded by Antigua, Barbuda, Barbados, Guyana, Trinidad and Tobago, December 15, 1965. And it's in the middle of the transition from like the West Indies Federation to CARICOM in the middle there. They formed this.
No, before I came, CARICOM went to.
That's what I said.
That big word. Yeah, that big word.
Yeah. The Treaty of Chacaramas is what formed CARICOM. But listen, what do you think the Prime Minister should prioritize at CARICOM?
That's a deep question.
I give you some options. There's a crisis in Haiti. There's the Haitian migrant crisis. There's drug and gun trafficking and gun violence in the region. There is climate change and climate financing. And there is food security. And then there is... reform of the global financial architecture, as stated by the CARICOM website.
I think it's a waste of time dealing with Haiti right now, but I think it should deal with food security and climate change.
So who should deal, Pumpkin Eater, who should deal with Haiti?
France.
They dealing with it right now? That's the problem.
That's what it is. They're fixing it.
Pumpkin Eater.
Haiti need to go under France.
Okay, Pumpkin Eater, I got to go. I don't want you to think I'm cutting you for talking that madness, but I got to go. All right.
Happy Valentine.
Okay, thank you so much. Let's go to the next caller, producer. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Godly day to the stark in the voice, and a godly Valentine to you, all of you, Aaron.
Thank you very much, Brayman.
Okay.
Brilliant eyes.
You're welcome. We need justice, law, and order in this country. But first, let me ask you.
Yes, sir.
What's the objective of this meeting, this CARICOM meeting in the Bahamas?
Okay, let me tell you what is on the agenda. So the objective is to discuss regional issues that are urgent and important to the region and prepare a communication and negotiation strategy to engage the U.S. and other regional actors, right? So CARICOM...
Why is that?
What do you mean?
What problem the region have that the Bahamian people or the Bahamian government have to or getting into it?
Okay, I can tell you right now. The first is the crisis in Haiti. the crisis in Haiti. Until we resolve the crisis in Haiti, we're not going to be able to stop mm-hmm. the...
But whose problem is that?
That's ours.
Why is our problem?
I can tell you why it's our problem. First of all, because the intentional oppression of Haiti is the beginning step in the policy and strategy to rule the whole Caribbean and keep all of us Africans, people of color,
subjugated,
residents mm-hmm. in this Western and Southern Hemisphere, subjugated under their power. If we let them to do it to Haiti, they will continue to do it to us, Brayman. I'm not even sure if I could tolerate that question on a good Valentine's Day. Let's talk about it. First of all, addressing the crisis in Haiti means that we can possibly establish a sound and sustainable political development model to be used throughout the region that we need even in the Bahamas. Second of all, you will not stop the movement of migrants out of Haiti. It don't matter where they're trying to go. They will not stop leaving until you establish political stability in Haiti. The region will always be in turmoil until you manage the political instability in Haiti. Global actors will continue to decimate your economic policies and strategies until you could get Haiti on a sound footing. All of our existence in the region as sovereign countries depends on the success of Haiti's ability to govern itself after being oppressed for hundreds and hundreds of years by the very same systems that are governing us today. Dear black people, dear people who identify as having African descent, helping Haiti solve its problem is the key to our sovereignty and liberation. While you sit here and question whether Bahamians should be able to go out to Rawson Square to protest their government, that same question is linked to the ability of Haiti to govern itself without political interference, external political interference. Here ends the reading that you should have gotten in your history class that we no longer have in our public and private schools.
Here, here, Aaron.
Well,
here.
You know what?
Well said, well said.
I thank heaven for Wendell Stewart, Mr. Palmer. We got to go to a break before I run hot here.
Well said, Aaron.
We're going to go to a break. It's Valentine's Day. We're going to learn to love each other today. We'll be right back.
Well said, Aaron.
In everything I do, in hopes that you love me too.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Whether your business is in store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
It's a new year, and you're super excited to start the year off right. You've made your New Year's resolutions, doing more exercising, healthier eating, saving more, making better decisions and all that. If you have information or products that encourages healthy living, promotes sound financial decisions, or even promotes a positive lifestyle, one smart decision is to advertise in the Nassau Guardian's Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise supplement. So if you're a physician, speech, massage, or physiotherapist, own a gym, nutritional deli, or restaurant? Does your financial insurance institution or credit institution have the plan for investing wisely? Then that information should be in the Nassau Guardian's Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise supplement. One low price gives you an ad in the supplement plus 15 30-second commercials. Interviews also available on Star 106 Hits, Guardian Radio, and Hot 91. Contact your account executives or the Nassau Guardian now. Start the new year right in the Nassau Guardian's Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise supplement.
Here we go. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents. best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always, you're always covering me. J.S.J.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises customers in New Providence and Village Road and surrounding areas that due to ongoing pipeline tie-ins into the water main, their water supply will be interrupted from Saturday, February 11th, 2023 to Thursday, February 16th, 2023 between the hours of 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. the following morning. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused as they work to improve their level of service.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
That's love, love alone. Asking God for to live the throne. That's love.
Love alone, asking Edward to lay the throne.
I know King Edward was noble and great, but his love would cause him to abdicate. His love,
his love alone, asking Edward to lay the throne.
I know my mommy, she gonna grieve. He say I cannot help, but I'm bound to leave.
His love,
his love alone, asking Edward to lay the throne.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. First of all, I got to say thank you to my producer that always keeps me in check
and calm.
Second of all, that's Love, Love Alone by Blind Blake. That's called the Bette Edit. The Bette Edit. I call it the Bette Edit Remix. Dear Cousin Charles, remember, it's Love Alone on this Valentine's Day that caused your granduncle, cousin, to leave the throne.
So, Aaron, I know you're going to go into the agenda, but...
Yeah.
You know what? There's a guy called Sir Ronald Sanders, right? You've heard of him. He's a big wig in this area. And what he wanted to—he wrote an article last year, and he said one of the problems with CARICOM is that it expanded prematurely instead of focusing, deepening its integration. So what he says is the admission of Haiti in 2002 has caused problems for trade and economic integration, one that is unlikely to be solved in the foreseeable future. And he talks about how they breached their governance and civil society in relation to free and fair elections, good governance, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So that is, you know, so there was a country was included, and it's creating merry hell now for us.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do?
Well, boy, that's a time.
Yeah,
look at how you brought these two issues together, which is great. It's exactly what I like, right? Because I'm going to say, well, listen, we need to stick with Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
And then figure everything else out. Why has Haiti's inclusion caused, right? What is the actual cause in there, right? That caused it? Because if it's external interference, then we're going to say, I'm going to say to my CARICOM people, y'all didn't plan for that. Surely you were aware of what was happening to Haiti because it's been happening to Haiti for over 200 years now. Okay, callers on the line, give me a second. Let me read the agenda for the 44th regular meeting of the Conference of Heads of Government of the Caribbean Community, that's CARICOM, as laid out on their website. It will cover several recurring and new issues: the CARICOM single market and economy, climate change, including climate finance, agriculture and food security. Security and health will again be in focus. Reform of the global financial architecture will engage the heads of government, who will also receive a number of foreign guests to discuss political, economic, and financial matters relevant to our community. And that's on the agenda list. Now, what I think...
Repeat that last one for me, please. I'm sorry.
Reform of the global financial architecture will engage the heads of government, who will also receive a number of foreign guests to discuss political, economic, and financial matters relevant to our community. Now, callers, I come in right now. Please hold the line for just a second because I just forget. And I look at the bottom half of today's Tribune, and I see this article, Mitchell, Haiti among top issues to be discussed during CARICOM meeting. But when I look at it under the headline, there's a picture of Fred Mitchell and Volodymyr Zelensky.
What's Volodymyr Zelensky doing with Fred Mitchell?
But first of all, the article says that he's going to zoom into the CARICOM meeting, so I don't presume they're in this picture together.
What do you mean they're zooming in to the CARICOM meeting?
Well, I don't think I don't think the U.S. is going to hire a jet and zoom him in. But, I think he's going to use the Zoom platform.
First of all,
You
need to tell the listening audience who Zelensky is.
So Zelensky is the current president of the Ukraine.
Where's the Ukraine?
Ukraine is in Eastern Europe.
What's Zelensky doing in a CARICOM meeting?
He's trying to get tips on what to do with Russia in the U.S. invasion of Eastern Europe.
From who? Us?
Yes.
The Caribbean?
Yeah, because I believe we have a low-grade military portfolio
like
that.
No one smiling at Zelensky being invited to a CARICOM meeting?
I mean, I'm not smiling. This is definitely not a smile. I am wondering, of the political, economic, and financial matters relevant to our community and the agenda, which one of those has he come to discuss?
Maybe the single market economy? Maybe he coming to talk about that?
If they told me he was coming to talk about food security because Ukraine used to be the breadbasket of Europe before the U.S. invasion of Eastern Europe, I would be like, okay, maybe
surely
we could talk
that.
To him.
It surely is that. That's why he's coming.
Maybe it is that he's coming to talk about the reform of the global financial architecture because, you know, Ukraine was doing a lot of work with crypto. So maybe they come to tell us about that. I don't know, Cecil. What I want to know is what is the prime minister going to prioritize? But I got to stick a pin and then beg you. What a day. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. How are you?
Everything great. I love how you handle that situation with that disabled caller, right?
Yes, sir.
Who called in reference to your guest, the gentleman inside there, right?
Yes, sir.
The gentleman did an excellent job because, you know, really in this country, it's hard for you to sit down and allow a person to say something like that about you, right? When you know for a fact you was not aiming on the direction that they were referring to, right? So I applaud your guests. You must be very patient during school days, boy, because it's hard to sit down and just listen to that sometimes. But he did an excellent job, I must say.
Yes,
but the mere fact that he did not even call any party name, and he did not refer to any particular individual. He made a statement, right? Which it was fair for him to make that statement, and I'm aware of just what he's saying because I heard the same thing. I won't go into any details, but I heard the same thing also, right? So I agree with him.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Nuri, I can appreciate this morning that you came there this morning and you ironed out Mr. Monroe's dirty laundry. You ironed out his wrinkled laundry. And in reference to his statement he made, he was expecting that the public would have not been aware that he was aiming towards really the Haymans and not any other persons that he may have been speaking about. So I thank you very much for bringing that out, that he would realize that, we still have intelligent people in this country. And the mere fact that you don't just make these statements and think that persons cannot read through the lines and tell exactly where you're aiming. So I could appreciate that. But that caller who called in reference to your guest statement, I want to say to him, right? You need to really sit down and check yourself, and you really need to sit down and think before you talk, because that could have been a situation where you could have cost somebody life if you were on the streets and you said those, you made those things, and you couldn't even make claim to your own statement when someone asks you, what is it that you're speaking about? You can tell them, go back and check the tape. Caller, please, man. That's why I'm crying so high today, because of people like you. And I'm glad, Ms. Green, you held your post and you did an excellent job in dealing with that. And you didn't even allow him you didn't even assist him in his lack of memory or his memory loss. You allowed him to go on and be a fool all by himself. And I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Y'all have a good Valentine.
Thank you, caller. Thank you very much. Yeah, we got to be careful with each other because our job is to not create a more dangerous environment for people. Yes, we have the right to say what we want, but we don't have the right to make life more difficult or dangerous or violent for other people. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning. It's great.
Good morning, Sparky. How you doing?
Excuse me, please. A sample of some cornmeat just hit the throat.
Listen, some love vine, Sarah C, and L.O.T.
Yeah, a little cornmeat, but yellow cornmeat, and cornmeat, but put too much goat pepper in it. But good morning to everybody.
Good morning,
Good morning,
Sparky.
Bahamas. And a very special, this is the most special Valentine's Day in my entire 71 years living on this earth. And that's because this is the only Valentine's Day today. All the rest are dead and gone, and we don't know the rest are coming. But I'd like to say thank you all, guys, and Valentine's Day to everybody out there.
Mm-hmm.
For those that believe in it, those that don't believe in it. Democracy, I believe, should rule. But, you know, there's a lot of things we don't take in. We just run our mouth, most of us, even myself, just must see the ourselves talk, and we ain't getting nowhere. When we talk about numeration and figures, and we talk about Haiti situation and so forth, the Haitians just look at Haiti, these little boats coming in the back of South Beach with 100, 200. They don't realize that just south of the Bahamas, one of the nearest countries to the Bahamas is a place called Hispaniola, divided into Haiti and Santo Domingo and the Dominican Republic. But in Haiti alone, there's 11.45 million people.
And Sparky, and not one of them have expressed they love to me on Valentine's Day. And I'm very upset.
But listen, the Bahamian people got to understand.
Yes, sir.
11.45 million.
Yes.
There's not even one half of 1 million people in the entire Bahamas.
Yes.
Including our guests.
Yes.
You can imagine if one, I keep telling people this over now. You can imagine, we've been talking about this from Loftus Roka time when he warned us as to what we should do to stop it. But yet we still got people in the Bahamas that we allowed to come here illegally, give them citizenship, make them Bahamians, and they telling us, don't try to stop it. If 1 million people from Haiti land on the shores of the Bahamas.
Sparky, you know, I would like to thank you for sharing that with me just now. Because you made me realize that's just how all of us got here. We all got here legally, and somebody made us all paper Bahamians. Mm-hmm. And here we are now carrying on like only us and us alone deserve the things, the benefits, and the joys of this plantation. Hey?
When is it we got to continue this, sir?
I know, because I see your guests arrive, Mr. Newry.
I've guests arrived.
Your guests arrived. I really was hoping we could continue. So let me run through these texts as we listen to this last song by Shad Fur and Alion Rose for this Valentine's Day. CARIFTA, Caribbean Free Trade Association. Could you tell 52, use smaller words, he forget we have a D average. That's somebody who's appreciate what you saying. Caribbean Free Trade Association, they called Ellen White crazy, but every book she wrote under Inspiration Writings has been proven and came to pass. I got to check out Ellen White. Of Bahamian, Aaron, we need to stick with Haiti. You don't speak for Bahamian, and as far as I am aware, Haitians don't really like Bahamians either, so there is no we. Have Bahamian pride and be blessed. The foundation of my Bahamian pride is my desire to be one with my African brothers and sisters, because nationality could never supersede ethnicity. Thank you, producer. Morning, Lady Green, and blessings to Mark and blessings to CA. Listen, we aren't a communist nation. That's from the mayor of Grand Bahama. Aaron, what is more dangerous than a bunch of illegal immigrants that could be all criminals invading your country? Would you like to talk about it? We can talk about it tomorrow when we attack the criminal... Sorry, my bad. The political class. That was a real faux pas. I didn't mean to do that. All Haitians who live in Shantytown in the bush need to shop. No, no, no. We're not even going to read that, Dexter. Not even going to read that. What a dumb thing to say. We all got here illegally. The Lutheran adventurers left under fear of persecution. They left Europe because what they was doing was illegal in Europe. The white people came here. Right?
Mm-hmm.
To worship freely, because worshiping their own God in Europe was illegal. Africans were brought here in the transatlantic slave trade, which was later made illegal.
And none of the people you talk about had visas.
Right. We stole, the land was stolen from its rightful inhabitants. And then some papers was signed, and we all became Bahamians. Here ends the history lesson. Learn to love yourselves, Bahamians, on this Valentine's Day. Have a great one. Cecil Newry, Guardian Radio AM, is up next.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.